Krishna explains in Gita the value of devotional service. The one who offers Krishna even a small leaf, a flower, or a little water, if it is offered with devotion, he accepts the quality of that devotion. The perfection of our life is simply when Krishna accepts the offerings of our devotion. That is the goal, the be-all and end-all of all of our aspirations. That somehow, by his causeless mercy, Krishna will accept whatever offerings we may present to him. It is a great thing because Krishna is unlimited. He is Vibhu. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is Atmaram, perfectly self-sufficient. He is the proprietor of everything. He needs nothing from us. But the nature of his love is that he accepts our offerings just to give us bliss, because it is the bliss of the soul to reciprocate love with Krishna. Many devotees have done so much wonderful service preparing these mountains of preparations, making them into such a beautiful sight for Krishna to see. Throughout the day, they have been working. For many days, they have been cooking. Also, Sri Nithai Gaurachandra, Radha Gopinath, Sri Gopal, they are all decorated in beautiful new dresses, which has been made by devotees, beautiful jewelry made by devotees. The decorations of flower garlands around the deities, the Singhasan, the temple, made by devotees. In this way, Krishna consciousness is a dynamic process by which we could all participate in the glorious activities of the spiritual world of pleasing Krishna and Sri Radharani. And these festivals give us such an invaluable chance to participate in these most pleasing spiritual activities. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered it very, very important that each devotee in their homes as well as in the temples should have grand and wonderful celebrations of these festivals according to our capacity. Because they invigorate the spiritual lives of all of us. Krishna reveals himself according to the enthusiasm of our devotional service. And we find the devotees who put the most time and energy and perform the greatest sacrifices, they are able to perceive the wonderful glory and bliss of spiritual life the most during these festivals. But of course, everyone gets the opportunity to participate in the most important of all offerings to Lord Krishna, and that is the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In one sense, all these wonderful arrangements which Krishna so mercifully accepts, our various means of bringing us all together in a more devotional mood to dance to the kirtan of Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna!
Today we are celebrating Govardhan Puja. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami describes this beautiful narration. Vrindavan is the place where all the residents, they know no one but Krishna. Their heart, their soul is simply dedicated to giving pleasure to Krishna. So, for the pleasure of Krishna, they would perform so many various religious activities because they were thinking Krishna to be their own child. They loved him so deeply and so intimately that Krishna covered his supreme position as being Godhead and gave them entrance into a deeper and sweeter relationship as a friend or a mother or father or a lover of the Lord, where their loving exchanges were not limited or restricted by reverential conceptions. The Acharyas explained to us that this is an advanced stage that cannot be imitated artificially, but it comes when we are genuinely freed from all the temptations of the modes of material nature and we actually have developed true unalloyed love for Radha and Krishna. So, even when the Vrijavasis would worship various demigods, we should know that in their heart of hearts, they were only doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, for the service of Krishna. So on one occasion, Nanda Maharaj was arranging with the cowherd men a very, very grand ritual. So much food was being gathered. So much ghee, Brahmins. It was going to be a big yajna. So Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj, "What is it you are doing? And why are you doing it? And who are you doing it for?" And Nanda Maharaj said, "This is our tradition. Every year we have this ritual. It is called Indra Puja. Because we are cowherd men in the Vaishya community, and our livelihood is through protecting the cows, and with the bulls we plow the fields and grow grains. And in order for all of this to happen nicely, there has to be sufficient rainfall. And Indra is that great personality who provides rain. So for so many generations, we have, in our family tradition, worshipped Indra on this day. And actually, we should know that this type of worship can be done in various levels of consciousness. For most of the demigod worshippers, it is like a business contract that we will perform this puja and in return you give us the material facilities that we need. That is not love, and that is not categorized as bhakti or devotion. It is categorized by Prahlad Maharaj as simply a business exchange. Others, because they are receiving so many gifts, they actually want to express their gratitude. "You are giving so much, we want to show how grateful we are." And others, it is all mixed up. But for the Vrijavasis, they were so pure and advanced, they were not doing business with Indra. But they understood that if the cows are happy, and if the bulls are happy, then Krishna will be happy. So we need these rains ultimately to make Krishna happy. So let us worship Indra. In fact, the great acharyas, who Srila Prabhupada so beautifully represented, explained that to worship the demigods to increase our devotional service to Krishna is perfectly acceptable. It is not necessary, but it is acceptable. It is good, as long as the goal is not our own personal materialistic desires, but Krishna's pleasure. So in this way, Nanda Maharaj explained, and Krishna responded that there is no need for this Indra Puja, because after all, there are three modes of material nature, and according to our particular activities in this life and previous lives, we create karma, and we will get the reactions to our karma. And the demigods are bound to give us the reactions to our karma. So because you are all pious, Indra has to send rain, whether you do this puja or not. He's even sending rains in the oceans, where there's no need. So my opinion, Krishna explained, is we should use all this paraphernalia and we should worship Govardhan Hill. Krishna wanted to bring out several points according to Srila Prabhupada's commentary. One is for an instruction to the general classes of people. He wanted to teach us that materialistic people who approach the demigods for material benedictions are less intelligent because the results of whatever yajnas they perform are temporary. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar avartanorjana mamupetya tukhonteya punar janmana vidyate. What to speak of the luxuries and opulences of this world, but even in the most highest of the heavenly planets, life is temporary. And all facilities are temporary. So why should we approach superior powers for temporary benedictions? They can give us no real satisfaction. We find even the great devatas who possess the opulences that we are begging them for a little charity from, they are not satisfied. They are always in fear of losing what they have. There are so many stories of Indra in the Vedas and the Puranas, which very clearly illustrate this principle. How, out of fear of Vishvamitra Muni's tapasya, he sent down Menaka, thinking that he may lose his position. How in fear of Bali Maharaj, he had to desert his own abode, Swargaloka. On so many occasions, how he has so many eyes all over his body is also a illustration of how he is not satisfied with what he has. He's always looking for something more. So why should we worship these demigods who are not even satisfied with everything they have? And we just want a little part of what they have from them. And we're performing so much ritual and puja and making it our whole religion. So Krishna says this type of religious performance is for the less intelligent. But it is better than the gross materialists who are so atheistic that they are not willing to acknowledge that there is a superior power above them. Another reason is Krishna wanted to illustrate that ultimately everything is coming from him. Janmadyashayataha. He is the source of everything that exists. Whatever the demigods have, Krishna says in Gita, they are getting it from me. They are just my agents. So better you worship me. So Krishna explained that here in this very holy land of Vrindavan, we don't need to go anywhere else. There are big cities, and there are big, beautiful palatial buildings, but we don't care for any of them. We have our trees, we have our Jamuna, we have our pasture grounds and our grass, and we are satisfied just living with the cows and taking care of each other in this way. And in all of Vrindavan, just see this Govardhan Hill, how much seva he is performing, providing so much nice water, so many waterfalls, so many beautiful reservoirs, so many trees with fruits, such unlimited, fresh, green, palatable grasses for all the cows and the cowherd boys and cowherd girls to enjoy. So we should worship the Govardhan Hill, because after all, immediately it is Govardhan that is providing the real necessities and opulences of our life. So when Krishna would speak, he had such a potency that no devotee could refuse. He had such a charming way of presenting things, and he was so logical. Yesterday, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was explaining how Srila Prabhupada, his transcendental bargaining, how he could convince devotees of so many things by his charming way of doing things and speaking. Because such great devotees, they are empowered in a wonderful way by the opulences of Sri Krishna. When he was speaking, I was remembering a particular story of our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. How expert he was at convincing people to surrender to Krishna. Should I tell the story? One of my godbrothers, his name was Hayagriva. He was one of the most original devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. He joined in 1966. And just a couple years after this, the New Vrindavan community was established. And it began to develop. And Srila Prabhupada wanted Hayagriva to be the president of New Vrindavan. But that means a lot of responsibility. And it means a lot of hard work. Because in those days, New Vrindavan was about 120 acres, but you had to go up a road, which was called Agasura. It was called Agasura because anything or anyone that tried to go up this road was devoured by the road. It wasn't a road. It was a mountain, and about 3 miles is about 6 kilometers, 5 kilometers. So you had to walk 5 kilometers to get to where New Vrindavan was. And it was all mud up to the knees in most places. And there were points where there were small rivers that you had to, up to your waist sometimes, and you had to just go across it. There was no bridges. Sometimes once Prabhupada came and they decided, we cannot ask our Guru Maharaj to walk up this terrible, just mud path up mountains through the forest. So they tried to bring him in a car, and halfway the car got stuck, not even halfway. And it's interesting, because 20 years later, that car is still there. It's nothing you can do. So it got stuck and he walked the rest of the way. Prabhupada was transcendental through all these. So anyways, Hayagriva heard the news that Prabhupada wanted him to be the president of New Vrindavan. And he decided there's no way that he's going to be the president of New Vrindavan. It's too difficult, too much work, too much responsibility, not his propensity. So he was talking to other devotees how I'm not going to do it. Somehow or other, I'm going to convince Prabhupada that I'm not going to do it. Now, Hayagriva was an English professor before he was a devotee. And he was also the first editor of Srila Prabhupada's books. And he was one of the original contributing writers to Back to Godhead. So he was very literate. He was actually a fantastic writer. very intelligent. So he was making all sorts of notes of arguments, and he was memorizing them. That if Prabhupada tells me I should do it for this reason, I will say like this. And if he gets, and he was covering every possibility of how Prabhupada would convince him to be president, and he had very, very excellent arguments against each one. So then Srila Prabhupada called for him, and he was prepared. He was like a warrior with so many astras to defend himself against the order of his spiritual master. Not that he didn't want to surrender, but he didn't want to surrender to this. He wanted to surrender to anything else. So he came into the room, and he had so many, he told me this story, so many logic, philosophy, memorized. He had his notes with him. He bowed down to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, very gently, sweetly, he said, Hayagriva. He said, I would like to ask you if you would do a particular service for me. And Hayagriva just, he was ready. He said, what service, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, I want you to take sannyas. And Hayagriva was completely taken off guard. He had not prepared any notes for this. He was completely stunned, shocked. He never would have considered in a million years that Prabhupada would ask him this. He said, but Prabhupada, sannyas? He said, yes, I think you should take sannyas immediately. He said, but Prabhupada, I can't control my senses. Prabhupada said, well, where is your faith? If you surrender to my instruction, I will protect you. He said, but Prabhupada, what about my wife? What will happen to my wife? Prabhupada said, you think you are maintaining your wife? I will take care of your wife. I will personally look after her. He said, but Prabhupada, every argument he presented, Prabhupada completely defeated until he was breathless and speechless and completely defeated. And he didn't know what to do. He was on the verge of death. His ego, not his body, but his ego. And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, I'll tell you what. If you just be the president of New Vrindavan, then you don't have to take sannyas. And Hayagriva said, Prabhupada, I will be the president. I will accept immediately this service. So he became the president of New Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada was very expert. So Krishna, he is the supreme origin of all experts. So he convinced Nanda Maharaj that we should not wait. Nanda Maharaj said, okay, we will worship Govardhan Hill, but first we'll worship Indra. He said, no, forget this Indra. We cannot wait. Whatever you have arranged for Indra, we should immediately use for Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj, even though the wrath of Indra was there to destroy them if they displeased him, Nanda Maharaj would do anything for Krishna. How should we worship Govardhan Hill? He said, you should get so much food and you should make wonderful preparations. You should make laddu, sandesh, rasgulla, halwa, rice, chapatis, sweet rice, kheer, so many. Make mountains, gulab jamuns. What else do we have? Krishna didn't mention cookies. He didn't say they shouldn't make cookies. But to somehow or other, that's our biggest mountain this year. Believe it or not, it was cooked by the brahmacharis, who are the stalwart orthodox Vaishnavas. So, and then you make wonderful mountains of bhoga and offer it to Giri Govardhan. And afterward, you should distribute it to everyone, the Brahmins, the common people. Even the beggars should have sumptuous feast. Everyone should have nice prasad. So they began to perform this Govardhan puja. And they made mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga. And they decorated the cows and the calves and the bulls. And they gave so much charity to all of the Brahmins. And then, after the offering was being made, Krishna himself entered into the form of the mountain of Govardhan. He assumed a gigantic form, and right in front of everyone's eyes, he ate all of the mountains of dry prasad and all of the kuns or lakes of the liquid prasad or bhoga. And when the Brijabasis saw this, they were struck with wonder. In fact, Krishna, although he assumed the form of Govardhan to just convince everyone for all time that he was non-different than Govardhan Hill, he still remained in his small cowherd boy form next to Nanda Maharaj, bowing down to this great phenomena that was being revealed. And then after he ate it all, he gave it all back, and all the mountains remained. And it was prasad. And then they distributed the prasad profusely to everyone without discrimination. And there was a wonderful, wonderful feast. And then they took the cows in front, beautifully decorated, and they circumambulated the Govardhan Hill, which is still a great tradition at Govardhan or Giriraj even today. So from this pastime, the great devotees of the Lord throughout history worship Govardhan Hill. They understand that it is none different than the very body of Lord Krishna. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught his devotees, even through his own example, not to ever step on any stone of Govardhan Hill, because we should not put our feet on Krishna's body. When Sri Gopal, who later became known as Srinathji, when he was up in his temple on top of Govardhan Hill, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was longing to see him, but he would not step on Govardhan Hill, so he could not go to see him. But in the mood of Srimati Radharani, in the mood of the greatest of devotees, he was praying to Sri Gopal for his darshan. So Gopal made wonderful arrangement. He arranged for a rumor to come to that village near Anior on the top of the hill. The rumor was that the Muslim soldiers who were then ruling India were coming to terrorize and break the deities. So the devotees and the pujaris secretly brought Sri Gopal with kirtan off of Govardhan Hill. And Lord Chaitanya was waiting right at the bottom. And he joined and had the beautiful darshan and began to dance and chant in front of Sri Gopal to his hiding place. And there for some time, all day and all night, he worshipped Sri Gopal. A wonderful kirtan, took the prasad, the beautiful darshan. And when he was completely satisfied through this, they realized that there was no Muslim soldiers coming. It was all just some rumor. So they brought him back. When Lord Chaitanya first came to Govardhan and he saw the first stone, he began to embrace that stone in such love, weeping tears all over it, knowing that this is not different than the very body of Krishna. In fact, for some time he would wear a shila from Govardhan Hill around his neck, and he would worship it in great love. And later he gave it to his most intimate associate, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, to worship. And he personally taught him how to worship Giriraj. Giriraj is a name of Govardhan Hill. In Vrindavan, one of the most common chants is Giriraj Maharaj Ki.
Yeah.
It means all glories to that great king of all mountains, Govardhan Hill. So it was a wonderful, wonderful festival. All the Brijavasis were so happy. The cows, even the animals were fed sumptuously. Everyone was joyful. And then they all returned to their homes. When you water the root of a tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. When we please Krishna, we become satisfied. But Indra, he was not satisfied. In fact, one of the principal reasons that Krishna performed this wonderful pastime was because he knew that Indra was too much proud. Indra is the king of heaven, Swarga Loka. And he's a devotee. And he's a very great devotee. But sometimes even great devotees become influenced by their surroundings. And it is Krishna's love that somehow or other he protects his devotee under all circumstances. How he protects his devotee is a wonderful thing. Krishna has his perfect intelligence to bring us all closer to him. So he was thinking that this Indra, he's my devotee, but he has so much power. He's the king of the devatas. And he has so much luxuries and opulence. And he's being glorified by apsaras, gandharvas, janaras, so many people, that he has become proud. He is thinking that he is the enjoyer. He is thinking that the power that he has is his own. In fact, the great acharyas explain that too much exposure to material sense enjoyment and opulence has made even great stalwarts on the spiritual path to become bewildered. Therefore, it is always best to live a very simple life, especially since a devotee never thinks himself a great stalwart. A devotee always considers himself just a very, very small, conditioned soul, ordinary soul, trying to serve the Lord. The purest, greatest Paramhamsas always consider themselves very ordinary. Just see the Brijabasis. The gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan, they are in the most exalted position of spiritual realization. Yet they never thought themselves great. They just considered themselves such ordinary people. And this is part of their greatness, their humility. Because it is this humility that charms Krishna, not our self-esteem. So Indra was infatuated and intoxicated. And Krishna decided that I'm going to smash his pride out of my mercy and love for him. So Indra was saying that the sacrifice that was meant for me has been taken by someone else. This is a great danger. When you are the proprietor of so much, you become so much attached to those things. It's very difficult to conceive that it could belong to anyone else or it can be taken by anyone else. So Indra was thinking like this, that the honor, the respect that was meant to adore and glorify me has been taken away by this small talkative cowherd boy named Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan have stopped my puja because of him. Therefore, I will teach them all a lesson. I will destroy everything in Vrindavan. And he called the Samvartaka clouds, which are the clouds that are used at the time of dissolution of the planet. And he told them that you go to Vrindavan and you destroy it with rains. Now the Samvartaka clouds were afraid because they didn't know what is this Krishna. He's a little cowherd boy, but we don't know what is his powers. After all, he killed Putana, he killed Trinavarta, he killed Bakasura, he killed Sakatasura. He performed so many wonderful activities. The Samvartaka clouds were thinking, we don't like this mission. But Indra said, don't worry, I am here. I will be following right behind you on my elephant carrier, Airavata. Nothing to fear, Indra is here. So if he's going to come, then we'll go. So they came, and they began to shower so many torrents of rain. There was freezing cold winds, and the rain was shooting down with such speed it was piercing the earth. And it was coming so thick that the rain was like various series of pillars just pouring down from the sky. And meanwhile, Indra was throwing his thunderbolts, and there was terrible thunder and lightning. And within a matter of seconds, Vrindavan was flooding. You could not see what was the highlands and what was the lowlands. And the cows and their calves and all of the Brijavasis, they were trembling in cold and fear and wet. And they understood that there's no other shelter except Krishna. Within their heart of hearts, they knew that only Krishna could save us. So they all approached Krishna. They put the cows first, knowing that Krishna is always the protector of the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo. And they approached and said, Krishna, because of you we have performed this yajna, and now Indra is very angry. Please protect us. And Krishna said, why you are, there is nothing to fear. Just see what I will do. And effortlessly, as a little child picks up a mushroom from the ground, Krishna lifted this huge, wonderful mountain called Govardhan, and he held it over his head like an umbrella with the little finger of his left hand. And then he told the Brijavasis, that come under this umbrella. It will protect you from all the winds and all the rains. Come and enjoy. So the residents of Vrindavan, with their cows and their bulls and their calves and their families and all the other animals, they all came under the Govardhan hill. And in this way, Krishna performed his lila as Giridhari. Giridhari Lal Ki! He stood there in such a beautiful posture, holding up the Govardhan hill. And the residents of Vrindavan were struck with wonder, seeing the beauty of Krishna in this pose. Our deity on the altar of Sri Gopal is this form of Krishna performing his lila of Giridhari, Girivaradhari. And this pose of Krishna appearing as Sri Gopal was so wonderful that the devotees of Vrindavan, they simply, without blinking their eyes, for 7 days, were perfectly satisfied simply seeing Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill. They were so much satisfied seeing this beautiful form of Krishna protecting them that they completely forgot everything except Krishna. They forgot about eating. They forgot about sleeping. They forgot everything. They were simply captivated by the beauty of Krishna. In this way, Krishna revealed the ultimate fulfillment of all of our soul's desires, to find ultimate complete satisfaction in Krishna. There is nothing else that will give us real complete satisfaction. So much so that we forget everything else. So therefore, we want to somehow or other attract Krishna's attention, by which he will attract our hearts in this way. And we have seen in the lives of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were so much attracted by Krishna in the mood of separation that they practically gave up all eating and sleeping. They were so absorbed in simply crying for Krishna in the ultimate ecstasy of spiritual emotion. So the Brijvasis, Krishna fulfilled all of their desires. And when Indra saw that 7 days had passed and he was pounding the Govardhan Hill with thunderbolts, trying to somehow or other make it go away so he could get at all the people under it. Now these thunderbolts of Indra, we have read in the Puranas what they do to asuras. It's one of the most powerful weapons. In fact, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of weapons I am the thunderbolt. He's speaking of Indra's thunderbolt. But Govardhan Hill, even though being lashed and smashed by thunderbolts of Indra, did not feel the slightest bit of pain. Why? Because underneath was Krishna's little finger. The pleasure that Govardhan was deriving by being touched by the tip of the little finger of the left hand of Krishna was so ecstatic that the thunderbolts of Indra were like insignificant in comparison. Indra saw that he was defeated by this little child of only 7 years old. So he told the Samvartaka clouds, go home. There's nothing you can do. And then when the rain stopped and again the sun came out, Krishna told the Brijvasis that you all go to your homes. Everything is now very safe. So they all loaded up their carts with all of their belongings and took their animals and they all returned to their respective homes. And after everyone came out from Govardhan, from under Govardhan, Krishna very slowly replaced the mountain just as it was. And all the Brijabasis began to glorify Krishna, wonderful Krishna, remembering the beautiful pastimes that he had performed, asking Nanda Maharaj, who is this Krishna? Is he just a child? Is he a demigod? Is he the supreme Godhead? How could he lift the Govardhan Hill for 7 days with his little finger? How could he kill the demon Putana, who was so powerful? And so many other, they were glorifying Krishna. How he could tear down these twin Arjuna trees, which were so thick and so high to the sky. And Nanda Maharaj explained that actually, when he was just an infant child, Gargacharya came and actually indicated that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So even though Nanda Maharaj knew that Krishna was Vishnu, at certain times he would reveal it. But at every other time, he was so infatuated by parental affection that he completely forgot. Not forgot, but rather, you see, in these higher rasas of intimate association, all the realizations of the lower rasas are contained, but there's something so much more. The ecstasy is so higher that it just becomes, that understanding becomes so insignificant that you do not even consider it. So Indra, feeling very much ashamed, descended along with the cow called Surabhi. Brihaspati told Indra that you have made a great offense to Krishna. You have tried to destroy him and all of his loved ones. You cannot approach Krishna directly. If you want to get his favor, you should first be recommended by somebody he loves, and he loves cows. And this is a transcendental truth which Krishna confirms in Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarsh. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu srayutamam. When someone that is surrendered to Krishna, someone who is so dear to Krishna, approaches Krishna on our behalf, then Krishna naturally becomes very soft and merciful toward us. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said like this about Srimati Radharani, that she is dearmost to Krishna. And if she is favorable toward us, she will approach Krishna and she will say, Krishna, please accept this devotee. He is better than me, or she is better than me. And if Srimati Radharani says this, Krishna cannot refuse. Krishna must accept that devotee. But how to gain the favor of Srimati Radharani? If we want to, the same principle holds, to get her favor, we have to approach her through somebody she loves. And how to approach that person? Through somebody that person loves. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the most perfect and complete process of approaching God. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Giridhari Gopinath Sri Krishna. So Surabhi came forward and said, Krishna, please forgive Indra. He's very sad. He is very much ashamed of what he has done. And then Indra came forward and bowed down to Lord Krishna and surrendered and began to offer beautiful prayers. Indra came on his beautiful decorated elephant, Airavata, which was born of the churning of the ocean of milk. And as the king of the demigods, you can imagine what type of wardrobe he wears. And Krishna, he was just covered with the dust of Braja. And he had some wild flowers as a garland around him. He was a cowherd boy, Gopa. But Indra fell at his feet. And with tears of love and shame, he began to offer prayers. How he was so much illusioned by his high position that he actually thought that he was the proprietor of all that he had apparently control of. But he realized that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And all the fame and distinction and influence he has over others, he was thinking that that was meant for me. But actually, it is all meant for Krishna. He is giving us our powers. He is giving us our wealth. Everything is his. So we should never be proud. Prabhupada said the pauper is proud of his penny. In this world, everybody's proud. The multi-millionaires are proud. This is mine. See my home. See my cars. See my companies. See my name. See my expertise. And the beggar in the street amongst other beggars is saying, see how I could beg so nicely. See, whenever the Hare Krishnas come by, I say, prasad, prasad, and they give me prasad. I drank 5 cups of chai today because my begging was so good. You only drank 3. So even amongst the beggars, I know. Because when I was a sadhu, I used to see these people and how they would talk to each other. Everyone is proud of what they have and what they can do. But the more you have, the more deep-rooted this misconception becomes. So Indra was explaining that now I understand that I am not the enjoyer, I am not the lord, I am not the controller, I am your most insignificant servant. And Krishna responded, he said, yes, Indra, this is true. I saw you are very proud, and therefore I performed this wonderful pastime just to smash your pride and make you again a humble servant. Now you can go back to the heavens. And don't get proud. Don't think you're Indra. I am the Supreme Indra. You are servant of the Supreme Indra. Don't forget that. Go home. And then Indra bowed down and returned to his abode. And the heavenly damned, but before he came, went down, he decided to perform a abhishek for Krishna. Surabhi approached Krishna and said, you are our Indra. We don't like this Indra. We don't need. We only need you. You are our supreme Indra. So we want to coronate you as the king. So with milk from the Surabhi cow, there was a wonderful abhishek. And Indra also performed a wonderful abhishek just to confirm and express that he was accepting Krishna as his king. And this all took place at Govindakund. And then they returned to their abodes. So we need not concern ourselves with anyone or anything if we are properly engaged in the worship of Lord Krishna. We should know that simply by pleasing Krishna, we are fulfilling all of our duties, all of our responsibilities in the purest and highest way. The process of how to satisfy Krishna is the most important science in life. And we should learn this science very nicely. It is simple for the simple. It is very complicated for the complicated. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. All of these wonderful, wonderful scriptures and all of their commentaries, great philosophers like Jiva Goswami, they all culminate in the simplicity of just doing the best we can for Krishna and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he would tell us sometimes, be very careful when you go to Vrindavan. He said, there are many Babajis who are Sahajiyas. They are pretenders. They are showing all ecstatic symptoms just to cheat you. Beware. And he also said there were many Mayavadis who worship Krishna and worship the deity and chant in kirtan, but their ultimate goal is to merge into the oneness of Godhead and give up the deity and give up devotional service when they come to a higher state of consciousness. So he was very, but there was one person he praised very much, a little old lady. He said when he was in, even when he was in Los Angeles, big, big, beautiful temples that were established in the Western world, he remembered this little lady at Radha Damodar Temple. He said every day, she would take a little old bucket, and she would go to Jamuna, and she would fill the bucket with water from Jamuna. And because she was very old and very thin, with great efforts, she would somehow or other drag that bucket to the Radha Damodar temple, and she would offer that Jamuna water to Radha Damodar for his bath every morning. She had nothing, just an old widow, just living in some place in Vrindavan, begging for food. But Srila Prabhupada said, because she was so sincere to offer that water to Radha Damodar every day, her service was so pleasing, Prabhupada said that she will most certainly go back home, back to Godhead. Here is a great acharya who is translating and writing commentaries on the most profound and deepest philosophical books in the whole planet, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who had become the founder acharya of the widest spread Vaishnava community in the whole world. Temples all around, millions of books being distributed, such a scholar, such a preacher, such a manager, such an everything Prabhupada was. And yet, he was thinking and sharing with his disciples of his appreciation of this old lady. We don't even know what her name was, but we remember her with our hearts because Prabhupada had so much respect for her devotion. So this is the perfection of our life, simply to develop this simple mood that if Krishna is satisfied by our endeavors, our life is perfect. And how to please Krishna? By pleasing his devotees, by living very purely, by observing very wonderfully his instructions. Krishna explained his instructions. In Srimad Bhagavatam, he says you should worship this Govardhan hill and you should perform this Govardhan puja every year. And he said, for those who do not, they will get bit by the snakes at Govardhan Hill. So he stressed to us that this is a very simple process, but it is a very wonderful process. So by coming to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple and other authorized temples, we are educated in the wonderful, sublime process of how to please Krishna. By having these nice festivals, by coming together to hear nice lila, nice philosophy, by taking nice prasad together, by worshipping the deity in a proper way according to Krishna's principles, by becoming humble, and by working very hard to help others to also find the glory and the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, has accentuated the very essence of all the Vedic literatures. That in this age of Kali Yuga, the most vital and essential spiritual activity that gives pleasure to Krishna is the congregational chanting of his holy names. And Lord Chaitanya taught that we chant, and then we dance, and then we take prasad. By Krishna's arrangement, there is sufficient prasad. But according to the quantity of prasad, we should have that much quantity of chanting and dancing on this day. If there's no prasad, we still chant and dance with full enthusiasm. But on this particular day, we should offer Krishna a mountain, the supreme most wonderful mountain of devotion in the form of our kirtan together. Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki, Shri Giridhari Lal ki, Shri Giriraj Shri Giri Govardhan ki, Shri Govardhanadhari ki, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Prabhu Bhara ki, Nithai Gopinanda. Thank you. chant for a few minutes. And at a certain interval in the kirtan, we will bring the Govardhan Hill of Rice Prasad into the middle of the temple, and everyone can circumambulate. And you will get credit for circumambulating Govardhan Hill. That is the special benediction of this day.
Nitai Gaura Hari!